The text is the epistle reading for today, Revelation chapter 12, reading from the 7th verse. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by their word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. Here ends our text. Country singer Mindy McCready sings, I need 10,000 angels watching over me tonight. That's a lot of angels. But our text teaches us that 10,000 angels are not enough. 10,000 angels couldn't throw Satan and his angels out of heaven. You know this if you know what allowed Satan to stay in heaven even after he rebelled. Two things did that. God's holy law and my unholy sins. God's holy law given to man needed to be kept perfectly by men, and all sins against the law had to be paid for in full. As long as those two conditions were not met, Satan had access to God. He could stand before God and accuse sinners day and night, because the law requires perfect obedience day and night, and we sin night and day. 10,000 angels couldn't keep Satan out of heaven. He had a right to be there. God had bound himself to his word. God had promised to punish sinners who violate his law. Anyone at all, even Satan, can appeal to God's word. And Satan did. Not only couldn't 10,000 angels throw Satan out of heaven, he came and went into heaven with the angels. After the fall, after Satan rebelled in heaven and slithered into Eden, Job shows us Satan among the angels as they present themselves to God. And what's he doing there? He's doing what the devil always does. He's accusing. You know how that is. You can hear the echo of Satan's voice in your own conscience. You don't do this. You did this. You do that. 10,000 angels couldn't shut him up. But the one and only Son of God could and did. God the Son took on our flesh and blood. He placed himself under all the holy laws of God and kept every single one of them. But of course, there was hell to pay for all the laws that we break. And pay he did. In his life, on the cross, in his bitter sufferings. Drop by bloody drop, Jesus paid for all my sins, all your sins, the sins of the whole world. What threw Satan out of heaven is the holy life of Jesus and his bloody, bitter suffering and death. The war in heaven at the opening of our text starts because Jesus ascended back into heaven after keeping the law and paying for our sins. With Jesus back in heaven, having paid for our sins, what standing could Satan have in heaven? What law can he accuse you of breaking if Jesus kept them all in your place? What punishment for sin can Satan insist that you must bear if Jesus bore them all for you? 10,000 angels couldn't throw Satan out of heaven. But one lowly, holy, dead, yet risen, and a now ascended carpenter from Nazareth did. Satan and his angels were thrown out of heaven. So here on earth, the battle rages on. Though we do have 10,000 angels watching over us tonight, Scripture tells us that there are numerous evil angels too, and that they also are very powerful. As a mighty fortress teaches us to sing, with might of ours cannot be done. That's because Satan enlists other forces besides his angels against us. Revelation 12 pictures Satan being hurled to the earth, but it forecasts woe to the earth and the sea. In Revelation 13, Satan is showing, calling a beast from the sea and a beast from the earth. One beast is anti-Christian government, and the other is the anti-Christian church. Dropping the figurative speech, Paul speaks of them in Ephesians 6, saying, calling them cosmic powers over this present darkness and the spiritual forces of evil. And he says all Christians have to do battle with them in this life. Revelation 12 tells us that Satan does battle with us because he failed to devour Christ. Peter describes it this way. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Paul shows us in 2 Corinthians that the devil doesn't always use a frontal assault. Sometimes he comes to us as an angel of light, speaking high, holy, good-sounding things. Always, though, Satan is at war with the ministry of the word. Jesus describes him as a greedy bird, snatching the sown seed of the word out of hearts so they can't believe it. When Jesus steps ashore to bring his saving gospel to Gadara, a legion of devils is there to try and stop him. Even in the church, Satan is found. First, he's there in the person of Peter trying to turn Christ away from the cross. Jesus has to tell him, "Get behind me, Satan." Then, ironically, Satan is entering into Judas to turn Christ to the cross. Satan will take any side of any issue and attempt to frustrate the good and saving will of God. With beings as powerful, crafty, and numerous as Satan and his angels, 10,000 angels are not enough to give us the victory. So even though we have the ministry of 10,000 angels, we are not more than conquerors for that reason. Notice that St. Paul, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Our text clearly teaches this as well. It says we overcome the devil and his angels by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. The blood of the Lamb was shed to cover our sins. Our sins are what kept us out of heaven. Our sins are what kept the blessings of God from us. The blood of the Lamb washes away sins, cleanses us from all sins, and hides our sins from the holy God and his holy law. It's like in the Old Testament Day of Atonement. The high priest poured the blood of a goat into the mercy seat and sat atop the Ark of the Covenant. In that ark, under the mercy seat, were the Ten Commandments that man had broken. Above the seat dwelled God in a cloud. How could God not be mad? How could he not be infuriated at seeing his holy commandments broken into shards? Enter the high priest with the blood of a goat. But the blood of a goat carried by a sinful man did not and could not in and of itself hide sin, forgive sin, atone for sin. No, that blood pointed forward to the blood of Christ, which he himself would carry into heaven to cover, to hide, to atone for our sins. Our text says we overcome not by 10,000 angels, but by the blood of Christ and our word of testimony. Our word of testimony is our confession of faith in that blood. We say, don't look at what we've done, O Lord, in our flesh and blood, but look at the blood of Jesus. We take shelter from Satan, his angels, and the storms of life in that blood. Baptism sprinkles with us with that blood. Absolution paints that blood over the doorposts of our lives so that the avenging angel passes over us. And communion. Communion is the very blood that Christ shed for us. Satan remains on earth ever seeking to devour us. He tries in many ways. He tries to swallow us up with sickness, with disaster, and mainly, he tries to swallow us with despair. Ever and always, Satan preaches, "See, you're at my mercy. See, I can do anything I want to you." And we give into that lie. We sink into the open mouth of despair, thinking that despite what Jesus promised us, we really are, after all, left as orphans in this world. Satan tries to devour us in despair by pointing to what we all know. Even with 10,000 angels surrounding us, bad, painful, terrible things do happen to us. How can we overcome Satan who seeks to devour us with that fact? The fact that even Christians with 10,000 angels watching over them suffer and die. How can we overcome Satan who seeks to devour us but by devouring the body and blood of the Lamb? St. John promises, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." And just where does Jesus come into us more than Holy Communion? Just how much more could Jesus be in us than by our eating and drinking his body and blood? In communion, we overcome Satan and all of his angels. Though sickness, sadness, or catastrophe claims us in this life, we have what the early church called communion, the medicine of immortality. Yes, though we are outwardly perishing, and though 10,000 angels cannot stop that from happening, inwardly, we are being renewed by the body and blood of the Lamb. It's strong medicine, stronger than any earthly medicine. Holy Communion is not just medicine for this body and life, but for the life everlasting. There's the secret to rejoicing in this woeful world. Our text says that woe belongs to the earth and sea, and 10,000 angels aren't able to change this fact either. But the text goes on to say that rejoicing belongs to the heavens and to those who dwell in them. So, where do we dwell? On earth and sea, or in heaven? Scripture says we're pilgrims and strangers here just passing through. Colossians 3 says our life is hid with Christ. We dwell where he does. So while 10,000 angels are not able to deliver us from this valley of tears, one Lord Jesus can and does. Rejoicing belongs to us because our life is not tied to this earth and sea or even to this flesh and blood that's going the way of all flesh to dust and ashes. Our rejoicing is tied to the body and blood of the Lamb, which is above all of this. But there's more. The Lamb who has redeemed us doesn't stay safe and secure in heaven, far away from the woe that earth and sea know. No, the Lamb gives us a meal here on earth of his body and blood. In this feast, he carves out a little bubble of heaven for us here on earth. Heaven is where Jesus is. Jesus, in communion, not only places himself into our mouths and bodies, but into our space and time. In communion, heaven comes to earth, and we come to heaven here on earth. We remind ourselves each time we have Holy Communion that we are not alone in this celebration. We acknowledge that the frail praises we offer here to the Christ now present in this space and time are really done with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven. 10,000 angels, well, they are impressive, but they aren't enough. One Lord Jesus is more than enough. By giving himself for us and to us, he also won for and gives to us the ministry of angels, which do as much for us or as little for us as is necessary for his glory and our eternal salvation. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.